we might remind ourselves that commemorating the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the first Saturdays is a rather recent innovation in Catholic piety. Because while devotion to the Blessed Virgin on Saturdays is as old as the Church, as I think we've said more than once, Fridays we commemorate Christ's passion and death. Sundays we commemorate his resurrection. And Saturdays we commemorate Our Lady's fidelity, remaining firm in the faith, in the trustful confidence that her Son would rise from the dead, though everyone else faltered. Saturday is Our Lady's day. It is the day of faith that Mary showed by not losing confidence in her Son. Surely a lesson for all of us not to lose trust in Jesus. But if commemorating Saturdays as Our Lady's Day is as old as the Church, commemorating the first Saturdays goes back just to 1917, to Our Lady's appearances at Fatima. And the practice of the first Saturdays, which then just keep multiplying, which we can keep repeating, and the blessings that Our Lady promised to those who receive, remember, communion on five successive first Saturdays, has been approved by the Church and is one reason why on this first Saturday we remember Mary's Immaculate Heart. The title Immaculate Heart of Mary is by now rather common in Catholic piety. There are not a few religious communities devoted to Mary's Immaculate Heart. The latest one, which is coming into existence, doesn't yet exist, is Father Robert Fox's. He's forming, as you know, a new community. Pray for its success. And the name, there could be only one with Father Fox, Sons of the Immaculate Heart. We might then ask ourselves, what do we as Catholics believe when we use the title Immaculate Heart? In other words, what mysteries of Mary's life are we commemorating, either on the first Saturday or whenever we offer Mass or offer prayers to the Immaculate Heart? There are two mysteries of Our Lady that the Church wants us to both reflect on and strive to imitate when we invoke the Blessed Virgin under the relatively new title of Immaculate Heart. When we speak of Our Lady as Immaculate, We, of course, honor her sinlessness from the first moment of her existence. The Latin word for stain is macula, referring in this context to the stain of sin. All of us are conceived maculately. Ours was a maculate conception. As the psalmist tells the Lord in the Miserere, in sin has my mother begotten me. Faith tells us, as we read from the letter of Paul to the Romans, because of the sin of our first parents, all of us from the first moment of conception are already sinners, stained by the common deprivation of God's friendship, which had our first parents remained faithful, wouldn't that have been wonderful? All of us would have been conceived in the state of sanctifying grace. We're not. Otherwise known as immaculate conception. Mary, unlike us, was conceived in the state of God's friendship. Her parents, Joachim and Anne, were sinners like everyone else. But when Anne conceived Mary, Mary was already in the state of sanctifying grace. Having been thus conceived in order to prepare her to then conceive the sinless one, namely Christ, God protected her from all sin, all through life. Unlike, again, the rest of us, who have not only been conceived in sin, and then, thank God, restored to God's friendship in baptism. But soon enough, we didn't wait long to catch up with our sinful ancestry. And we began to sin from the moment we reached the age of reason. Mothers tell me a child, a little tyke, 3 years old, can be willful, can be stubborn, can be mean. I've seen little boys, 3 years old, pulling their sister's hair. What evil genius inspires us from childhood to sin? That's us. But not Mary. Mary grew in holiness all through life, never once, that's our faith, sinned. When then we prefix the word immaculate to Our Lady, we mean three things. We mean she was conceived without sin. We mean she never actually sinned. We mean she never, by God's grace, could sin. In other words, Mary was not only immaculate in her conception, sinless in her life, but impeccable. Immaculate conception, sinlessness, and impeccability. All of that is locked up in the simple title, Immaculate, when referring to Meredith. The lesson for us is obvious. We are told to be devoted to the Blessed Virgin. Our devotion does mean invoking her aid, reciting her rosary. It means a lot of forms of Marian piety. But it mainly means devotion to Mary, mainly means striving to imitate her virtues. And for our purpose, we become more and more like Mary as we become less and less sinful. Even the Muslims, may God bless them, at least for this, have such a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin. These are the Muslims. That the highest tribute they can pay to a woman is to call her in good Arabic, Mary-like. It was no coincidence that Our Lady appeared at Fatima. Do you know where that city's name came from? From the Muslims. That's the name of Muhammad's favorite daughter. The Muslims occupied Spain for over 6 centuries. Telling us to start converting the 500 million Muslims. So that's the first title of Our Lady that has such deep meaning and is meant to be imitated by us in our effort to overcome our sins. Or, as I tell people, the Church is telling us to become holy. How do we do it? Read more books? Listen to more sermons? May help. You become more holy as you become less sinful. And if you want to know what virtues God wants you to concentrate on, that's easy. What sins are you most committing, to which you're most prone? That's the first part of Mary's title that we commemorate since Fatima on the first Saturday, Immaculate. But we address Our Lady under the title of Immaculate Heart. The heart in biblical language, as we know from the Sacred Heart devotion, the heart stands for the will. In other words, if we want to describe a person using their will, we speak of the person doing it with their heart. The most willful acts we perform are the acts we perform heartfully with all our hearts. The heart is the will. Relative to Jesus and Mary, The heart symbolizes the love in the will. So that when we address Our Lady under the title of Immaculate Heart, we address ourselves and we remind ourselves of her sinlessness, as we've just described, and of her great, deep love of God in her heart. That's why I chose from the Gospel the famous passage in Luke, when Our Lady is said to have treasured all these things in her heart. It occurs in the narrative of Bethlehem, remember, when the shepherds came and marveled. No statement of Our Lady, isn't that remarkable? Just a reference to her heart at Bethlehem. And again, when she found him at the age of 12, and she treasured all that he told her in her heart. What's the lesson for us? Even as her title, Immaculate, reminds us to imitate Our Lady in striving to overcome our sins. Each one of you have your tendencies, I've got mine. And we are to specialize in sanctity by overcoming the sinful tendencies that are specially our own. So we are to imitate Our Lady in her great interior, deep, silent, quiet, suffering love of God. There are not many words recorded of Our Lady in the Gospel. It's just as well. We love God, finally, in the last analysis. Not with our lips. Keep telling him, "My God, I love you." We should, of course. Or in the actions we perform. Even the heroic deeds that some of the great saints accomplish, we truly love God in that hidden interior citadel of our hearts. And it is with our wills that we love. We are to show that love in action, of course. Pronounce it in speech, of course. But the love as such is in the will. Though all the feelings may be to the contrary. I cannot overemphasize this in what I've taken the liberty of making a slightly longer homily on this first Saturday of September. We cannot overemphasize the fact that we love God with our wills. Our bodies may be in pain. We may not naturally like to do what we know God wants us to do. Mary did not enjoy giving birth to her child in a stable. No mother would. She didn't enjoy fleeing to Egypt when Herod wanted to kill the Christ child. She surely did not enjoy being told by Simeon that a sword would pierce her heart. no matter. It is now emotionally, not how emotionally pleased we are, or how much we relish with our feelings doing God's will. It is that we want to do His will, and that's love. We love God when we want what He wants. Amen. Close the book. Life is both that simple and that demanding. Invoked under the title Immaculate Heart. To keep reminding us, and it's a good idea daily to have at least one special invocation to the Immaculate Heart, to keep reminding ourselves that we are to become like her who was the perfect mirror of her Son by striving to overcome our sinful tendencies. You name them, we've got them. So that we who are not conceived, immaculate, we all came into the world sinful, that we might leave the world sinless. That is a lawful ambition. That's what striving to become holy is all about. And we invoke Mary by addressing ourselves to her heart in order to ask for her help, that like her, we might love with our will, even though as it costs memory, we may have to pay a heavy price, suffering, pain, endurance, the cross, and not only in our body. But I hope you believe me, the most dreadful pain is in the heart. Mary knew. She is ready to help us to become like her in overcoming sin, and like her in loving her God and ours with our hearts. And the more we become like her, the more we become like Him whom she brought into the world. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.